what kind of marketing are you using to promote your business?
In general, I do exactly what I say in my course, and that is I create lead generation advertising.
What do you mean by that?
Primarily through the books and reports that I've written, mm-hmm. that I've given people resale rights to,
okay.
or I've sold resale rights to. So in other words, I've got a body of articles, books, reports that I've created, and I've sold the resale rights to those.
Uh-huh.
Now what happens is the people who bought the resale rights will either distribute those as a freebie, as a bonus item, or sold outright to other people. They also, in turn, and normally, depending on the rights that they bought, also have resale rights. So those people are now selling the book or report. And that's how the majority of my leads come in. People who have bought my book from somebody else will find out about me, come to my website at infoproductlab.com, and sign up for my newsletter. So everything that's out there is in some way is going to lead back to me in my main website, and that's all lead generation. I call it advertising. Really, it's advertising. It doesn't cost me a penny because all of those leads are coming into my website, which I can then use to follow up on the back end to sell them more information products.
Okay. So you have a link in each of the products that you create or each of the e-books that you create that links back to your website.
That's right.
Okay, well, that's a good plan. Do you have I guess that basically is the plan is to start that. How do you end up, you create a product, an ebook or whatever, how do you get the first bunch of them sold to start the ball rolling, to get the whole marketing, the marketing snowball on the way?
Well, and normally I would write a report, a hard-hitting report, something about, I think one of the first reports I wrote was on how to... how to be a digital publisher on the internet, and it was a hard-hitting report that I listed on eBay. I think I sold it first on eBay. But let's say, I mean, there was other things that I sold, but I sold a lot of business books on eBay when I first got started. So I had this list of people who bought business books from me,
uh-huh.
and actually, what I did was I found a wholesale supplier of books in the internet marketing and marketing topics. And I purchased wholesale copies from him at 50% off. And then I marketed those on eBay, on Amazon.com through their marketplace, through ABE Books, we talked about before, which is a great place to find used books.
Uh-huh.
And even though these were new, I mean, there's no restrictions on what kind of books that you can sell there.
Right.
And I sold them as brand new books. So between those three marketplaces, I had developed quite a customer list, and they were all customers that were interested in business or internet marketing topics. And then what I did was I gathered all those, all that list together, sent them an email saying, would you like to join my list? And that's how I really built up my list at the very beginning. And after I had created my first digital report and a couple of e-books, especially eBay Secrets, which was my first book, then I offered the resale rights to those, and it just snowballed from there.
Excellent. So are you doing any offline marketing then, or is it all online?
No, actually, since last year, I've been doing quite a bit of offline marketing. I still obviously generate quite a few leads online because of all the works that I have out there. But I have been more and more intrigued by the quality and responsiveness of the leads that I've generated offline. And the way I've been generating leads offline is through classified ads in magazines, newspapers, in my target market. I've also rented a couple of lists for opportunity seekers and opportunity buyers. And they haven't worked out as well as the lead generation stuff that I've been doing, specifically the classified ads in magazines and newspapers.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty satisfied. In fact, my income has just about tripled on a monthly basis from last year.
Is that because of the classifieds?
I'm sorry?
That's because of the classifieds?
I believe so. I think the classified ads that I'm running in magazines and newspapers seem to really generate a very high quality lead that's extremely responsive to my offers. So I'm really happy about that.
So is this kind of a trade off? You get quality leads, but not quantity, or how does it work compared to online?
Yeah, you can pay up to 50 cents a name for an online lead, someone to opt into your subscription form.
Right.
There's a number of co-registration lists out there, and you can pay anywhere from 10 cents to 25 cents. Anywhere from 15 to 20 cents is probably normal. 50 cents is a little bit on the high side. But let's say you're paying 50 cents a lead.
Uh-huh.
If you want to get 1,000 leads, it's going to cost you $500.
Yeah.
Well, for $500, you can put an ad in USA Today's Marketplace section that's read by millions. And normally, I would get, depending on the ad, but I could easily get 1,000, which I have gotten, from a lead in USA Today's Marketplace section, all the way up to 3,500 leads for the same price.
From one ad?
From one ad.
Wow.
And the leads tend to be extreme. Like I said, I segment my list so that I have my offline leads in a separate list.
Okay.
And they are extremely responsive. On an average offer, I'm getting anywhere from 1% to 3.5%.
Wow.
On my offline list. With my online opt-in list, the average response rate for the same offer is anywhere from 0.1% to 0.75%. So,
right.
So it's almost double.
So why do you segment them then?
Because I want to test the responsiveness of the list.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a basic reason.
So are you writing offline ads the same as you would write online ads?
Not really, because you've got a little bit more space with your online ads.
Okay.
You can do a lot more. Obviously, like I said, some of my advertising has to do with writing books and reports, and then reselling the rights to those so that other people can pass those out.
Uh-huh.
So the report or the book that I'm writing, is an entire ad for my site.
Right, okay.
Okay, when you're doing offline advertising, you're really limited to the amount of space that you're using. So you want really hard-hitting, powerful words in your ads whose only job is really to direct them to a web page.
So what would a typical...
capture page that you can include more information about your site.
And then you would capture their names there.
That's right.
An email address. Now, what would a typical ad say? What do you write in a typical ad offline?
Let me give you an example of one.
Just while you're looking at it, are these classified ads or are these display ads?
No, these are classified ads. Free website reveals little-known ways to make money online. Nonstop profits are only a click away. And then I include my website address there.
And that would go to a lead capture page?
That would go to a lead capture page with a little more information. And in most cases, a free report of some sort.
Okay.
As an additional incentive to get people to sign up.
Now, what would that be selling in one of your books, or what does that sell in, that ad there?
That would go to a free report.
Okay.
That people would sign up for, their name, email address. And then that particular lead would go into a segmented list of leads that I've captured through offline methods.
Okay. And what kind of report, what's the information that would be in the report?
I would take one of my existing reports on how to make money on eBay, or I would take one, depending on the emphasis of my list, because I would test different headlines. One would say, how to make money on eBay, easy and fast a startup report. Or I take one on digital publishing, or I take one on, how to publish your own e-zine, that kind of thing. It depends on which magazine I'm going in.
Okay. So are you using, can you test your ads online and find out how effective they are before they go offline, or do you have to test them offline?
In most cases, I'm going to test them offline. I'm going to use some proven headlines. I'm not very, you know, I don't mind being creative in some cases, but in most cases, you're better off not being terribly creative and using something like, you know, John Caple's books, Tested Advertising Headlines, or something that's been tested before, and a headline that would actually, you know, pull a response, and then just fitting the headline to your particular project. But I'm not too creative with projects. I mean, obviously the word free is very, very important in your ads. Definitely give them the website to click through to. Little-known ways to make money online is a nice phrase that I actually picked up from a headline that John Caples wrote. So there's, you don't want to be too creative with those. Trying to find the headlines that actually work, and then just modify it to your project.
So are you sending them then to a website like infoproductlab.com, or do you send them to a page so you end up like infoproductlab.com/freereport.htm, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, because what happened, InfoProductLab.com, the main site, does not offer a free report of any kind.
Okay.
Normally, if somebody hits the InfoProductLab.com main website, they're probably being generated through online ways and methods and systems that I'm using.
Right.
And I find it much, much better not to give away anything free to subscribers who find me online.
Okay. Why is that?
They tend to be more freebie seekers, more Hotmail addresses, more less serious and less responsive subscribers. I think that they're online. They're getting a little bit savvy about what's going on online, and they realize they can get all kinds of free reports, so they sign up with, you know, email addresses that they don't really monitor on a regular basis.
Right, okay. So where are some of the good places to advertise then offline? Some of the
depends on your market. I mean, for my market, which is, you know, opportunity seekers and business opportunity seekers, Entrepreneur, USA Today, Home Business, Inc., Home Business Opportunity Magazine, and then there are business journals that are published locally all across the country. And those could be good. Those can be good lead generation ads for certain types of businesses. But those are the main magazines that I advertise in right now.
So your classified ad that you're writing is, what is it, about 3 or 4 lines?
It depends on the size of the ad, but generally it's 4 lines.
And then it's actually one of these ads that's buried in pages of huge pages of classifieds.
That's right. At least initially. If it happens, if I write an ad and I put it in as a classified ad in a magazine or a newspaper, and it tends to pull, depending on the search. And if I can pull 500 to 1,000 leads out of that for a single ad, that's a pretty good response.
Yeah.
Then I would definitely go up to maybe a 1-inch ad, or I might actually, what I will do before I do that, is to test 2 different classifieds in the same section. I'll take one, I'll take the ad that I had, and then I will use as my control ad, and then I will actually reword it, put in a different website, and put it in the same classified section to see which one would pull best.
Excellent. What kind of cost?
I would continue to work those controls until I could find the one that pulled the best.
Excellent. So then, would you then increase the size of the ad, or would you just keep running the same ad until it stops pulling?
I have not jumped up to a larger size ad because I am not selling anything directly. I'm only doing lead generation advertising at this time.
Uh-huh.
I think if the lead generation begins to decrease or decline in some way,
uh-huh.
And I want to try something different, I think I might step up to a half page ad or a full page ad. If I have a proven system that's going to work for me, the only reason I would go to a half page ad or a full page ad is if I was going to sell directly in the ad a low-priced product or report for $14.95 to $25 or something like that and see how well it pulled.
Right, just as
and
a
I
tough.
May do that, I may do that for the course
uh-huh.
because the course is sold so well online. I may try. I may do that with a report for $14.95 to $25.95, someplace in that range that would teach people how to make their living online, but would obviously not be as extensive as the course, but really a lead generation piece for the course itself.
So the course would then be a back-end product for you?
That's right.
Excellent. So as far as the cost, then, if we're looking at the four-line classified ad, what's the cost involved with that?
Well, they would, depending on the circulation and the size of the magazine, ink is very, very expensive. USA Today is anywhere from $250 to $300, $400, depending on how many lines you have in there. But, I mean, if you can pull out 1,000 subscribers for that amount of money, you're talking 35, 40 cents a lead. So it's not too bad. I mean, if you're paying 50 cents a lead for online advertising or a subscriber opt-in online, you know, I don't mind paying 25, 35, 45 cents a lead for offline advertising at all because they're much more responsive.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So thinking of general marketing tactics, again, are the old marketing tactics like banners and that type of thing working anymore still?
Well, the nice thing about banners, which I have not tested in a long time, but I have been looking at the inventory and the prices of banner ads. And if the prices of I have purchased a few deals,
mm-hmm.
and if the prices of banner ads are so low that they just make such an attractive buy, they can work out very well for you. I mean, obviously, right now PPC. Pay-per-click PPC ads are extremely popular.
You know,
everybody's using them. And some of the prices for PPC keywords are extremely expensive.
Yeah.
You know, some people are paying $3, $4, $5 a click.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
And there's no guarantee that you even get the person's name.
That's right. There's no guarantee that they're going to sign up on your opt-in form at all. But they're paying $3 to $4, $5 and more. Some of the really hot businesses are paying up to $20 a click. So that is an extremely expensive place to advertise. And so if I saw banner ads, let's say 1 million banner impressions, you know, for like $10,
yeah.
I grab it, or even $100 or something like that. I mean, there used to be a terrific banner ad advertising network. I think it was Advert Wizard or something like that. It was in the UK, and I loved advertising on them because it was extremely inexpensive. But they went out of business, I guess. But if I could find very inexpensive banner ads for a site that I really wanted to get into, I definitely buy it. I mean, I would go against the grain. I would go against PPC, and I look for those cheaper ways to advertise and generate leads. Definitely.
Right. Are you using PPC ads yourself?
The only PPC ads I use are on Google, on Google AdWords, and they're on for my own name, David Valliere.
Right.
Those are the only keywords that I'm using. I'm not using it for other type of keywords like make money online or, you know, business opportunities or, you know, make money here or anything like that. I don't use any other keywords. It's just on my own name so that when people do have a book and they don't have a current URL for my website, you know, they can put it into Google and find me right away.
Excellent.
And then I'm only allowing, I'm not using Google's content publisher to list my Google AdWords. It's only through Google search engine that I'm advertising.
Okay. What's the content publisher?
The content publisher is when, let's say you're running a website of your own and you have a lot of content on the website, you can sign up through Google AdSense, you know, the AdSense program that allows you to put Google AdWords on your site.
Yep.
And you get a percentage of every click that, you know, when people visit your site, they see the ad, they click on the link, and you get a percentage of the advertising dollar for that click-through. Well, what happens is, for a lot of especially really popular keywords, click fraud is absolutely rampant on content publisher sites.
Oh, yeah.
And it's ending up costing advertisers a lot of money.
Oh.
So I only advertise on the Google search engine. I don't run my ads across the content publisher's websites.
Right, okay.
And it's a much larger problem than most people realize.
So you're actually getting a lot of clicks that are just useless clicks from...
Yeah. Not only that, but what's happening is, and there's been a lot written about this lately, is that there are specific lists that are popping up of people who run the AdSense on their website who pay other people to click on their links.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's kind of bad. What they do is they'll say, "Hey, look! All you have they're called pay for click links and pay for click subscriptions." And what you do is you sign up, and they'll send you a website page to visit that has Google AdWords on it. And if you click on those, you get paid. You have a unique ID or something, and they can tell who you are by what page when you visit the page and what you click through. And they have absolutely no interest in the ad. They have no interest in what you're advertising at all. They just want to get paid for that click. So if the advertiser is paying 50 cents a click, the content publisher is getting, maybe 25 cents a click. They will split that with the person who they send to the site to click through, and they get, 12 and a half cents a click.
Son of a gun. There's always somebody.
Yeah, it's much more, I think it's much a bigger problem than Google will ever let on to.
Right.
But click fraud is really a huge problem.
Oh, that's something else. Well, next, Dave, I've got some more questions from the crowd. These are questions that people have written in and asked when I told them that I was going to be talking to you.
Okay.
We got Fred Martin from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, Canada, and he'd like to know what type of marketing that you don't recommend and why.
The type of advertising I really don't recommend is the ads that you see online that says that they will send you 10,000 visitors for like $20,
uh-huh,
or 100,000 visitors for $50 or whatever. Generally, it's extremely hard to quantify those. You can't determine where the clicks are coming from. You can't tell where the visitors are coming from. They're coming from all over the world. Some of them might be from China who can't read your site.
Right.
There are programs out there, and I talked about this in the course, there are programs out there that can imitate a visitor through proxy settings. And, you get a little program set up where you're hitting a web page, 10,000 times, but it's all it's a robot doing it. It's not actual visitors. And I think a lot of people, if they have ever invested in any type of those programs, will find out that even if they have a fantastic lead capture page set up, they're going to get no opt-ins or no sales from those type of advertising programs.
Just money down the drain.
Absolutely.
Next one I got is Dan Wong from Hong Kong wants to know, how do you automate your marketing and lead generation?
Well, for a very long time, I handled my own list. I built my own list using a text file, just putting names, addresses, and email addresses into a text file. Lately, I have been using a program called ListMail Pro. It's at listmailpro.com. And it runs on my own server at ismtp.com, and it's a fantastic program. It's absolutely wonderful. I can set up unlimited lists. I can set up unlimited follow-ups to the list. And it's just like AWeber, only it sits on my server rather than theirs. If I was starting all over again and I had absolutely no list, I would definitely go with AWeber. And the reason for that is that they have the technology available. They have the relationships with the major ISPs, including AOL, that help get your messages delivered.
So if I set up with AOLweber, I'm more likely to get a message delivered to an AOL customer than I am if I send it myself.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. What about your lead generation? How do you automate that?
The only way I actually automate that is through either co-registration lists, which I've used in the past. I'm not using any co-registration lists right now or services. But basically, all of the reports and all of the articles that I've written that I've sold resale rights to that are out there on the web is pretty much an automatic lead generation system for me. I really do absolutely no advertising, as I said, online, no PPC advertising except for my name. But I'm getting, you know, 50 to 100 new subscribers every single day, and that's because of all the reports that I've got out there on the web.
Wow. So what you mentioned about the co-registration leads, why don't you do that anymore?
I was using one company, but when I first started using them, the leads coming in looked like they were pretty responsive.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, I found out that they were using a lot of free giveaways to get people to sign up.
Oh, yeah.
And the responses declined sharply. The quality of the leads, people, as soon as they subscribed to my list, would unsubscribe. That became a real problem.
Right.
So I stopped using them, especially when I was paying 25 cents a lead for them.
Ouch.
I got credit to their service, but you know what a pain in it is to, you know, get a subscriber. They unsubscribe. I got to cut and paste their email address and send it back to the service to get credit for that. It was really more trouble than it was worth.
You waste more time. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a couple of other there's some interesting ways that internet marketers are generating leads, and I participated one last Christmas, and that was through Mark Hendrick's 12 Days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get into some of the special lead generation type programs like Mark had run, that can be a terrific way to generate some really good high quality leads. Basically, what Mark did was 12 days before Christmas, he would have every single day a list of free reports or software or something else like myself and other internet marketers donated to him to put on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for people to get these freebies, they had to register, and I would get the lead through my own opt-in form. And then they could download the free report or whatever else I was giving away. That seems to work out much better than the co-registration services.
Okay. How many leads did you generate then?
I generated almost 2,000 leads in those 12 days.
2,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was terrific. It was very well done. Mark does a very good job of it. I think this was the second year of doing it. And it worked out very, very well.
Fantastic.
The condition is that if you donate something and people click through to it, they go to a special form that you have so that they can opt into your list so that they can get the free report. But then you also have to promote the general site for the 12 Days of Christmas special.
Right, okay.
Through your list. But it was well worth it because I generated about 2,000 leads doing that.
Well, that's fantastic.
Good quality leads, too.
Got another question from Aristotle Sakos from Piraeus, Greece, and he wants to know, what resources do you use regularly, websites or offline resources?
For marketing or just in general?
I would say probably marketing, but let's look at the business in general.
Okay.
Or both.
Well, obviously, Google is one of my very, very favorite search engines, so I use them quite a bit when I'm trying to locate information on the web. ListMail Pro is a program that I mentioned already for my list, which I use to send out my newsletter, automate all my opt-ins, unsubscribes, and keep a database.
Okay.
I use Google AdWords. I monitor that all the time, just for my own name. So, but it's something I look at on a regular basis because I do get quite a few leads through there. I use ClickBank quite a bit, looking for new products that I can promote to my list. So ClickBank is a very important partner site for me.
How do you find partners there?
I use ClickBank generally to look for new products to promote. So I will take a look at the ClickBank site, look at each one of the categories. There's a new products link in each one of those categories. You click on that, and you can see what new products have been added to the ClickBank marketplace in the last week or so.
Oh, okay. So do you contact the owner then and test out the product, or how does that go?
Normally what I'll do is I'll take a look at the page that they've supplied to sell the book, and if it looks, if it's interesting enough to me so that I want to buy it, I will generally go ahead and buy the book, read it, you know, and if it is as good as it, as the sales page says it is, and they, you know, they kept the promise to deliver really good information, then I will find out. Normally, I'll only buy the book if it has a commission of 50% or more. Then I'll set up my own hop link to write a short email message to my list and letting them know that this book is now available. And that's a terrific way to get a a head start on other marketers who maybe find out about the book later. And so I actively search the ClickBank marketplace looking for new products to promote. It's worked out very well for me.
Excellent. Next question from B. Moore is, do you think RSS will help webmasters sell more, or is it just a lot of hype?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been debating this one myself because, you know, in certain circles, RSS is very popular. And internet marketers are starting to catch on to it, and they think this is the most fantastic thing in the world. I remember a few years ago there was a gentleman who was writing a blog on, I forgot what it was. I think it was digital publishing. And he had claimed to generate $60,000 in revenue every month from his blog through sponsored ads that he had placed on his blog. His blog was extremely popular. With RSS, what you can do is you can set it up so that a person with an RSS reader, there's a couple of them out there, like Adam, or I think Feedster has one. There's a couple of numbered of RSS readers out there. And it's almost like if you've been on the net for a while, you'll remember newsreaders.
Yeah.
You remember newsreaders? I think Internet Explorer still has a newsreader built into it, but I don't use it anymore. It's a very passive form of marketing. In other words, you put up something new on your website through your blog, and then if people have subscribed to your RSS feed, they automatically get updated in their reader when you've got new content on your site. So you can click on it, and then you can go to the site and look at it. If they don't look at their reader that often, or your headline or something else about the article that you posted doesn't appeal to them, they're not going to visit your site. One of the newsletters I get on a regular basis is from a research institute for internet marketing, and they had an article, in fact, today on this, and that is that less than 1 out of 20 people who are already online hardly know anything about RSS feeds or new RSS readers or anything like that, and they don't know how to use them.
Okay.
So, I mean, as far as a marketing tactic, I think you need to keep abreast of it. You need to know what's going on there. But it's not. It's more of a passive form of marketing and not a more aggressive form of marketing. And your results are going to really vary. You have to have really, really excellent content in order to draw readers in on a regular basis to your blog. And you can do a blog without getting too heavily involved in RSS, but it's something to watch for. If you do it correctly, I think you can generate a lot of traffic doing it. But it's not going to replace email marketing. It's not going to replace other forms of marketing that you're going to want to use.
So it's a good tool in the toolbox, but not to base an entire marketing plan on.
Exactly.
Next question is from somebody who's simply named Sam. And Sam wants to know, how do you find time to do everything?
Well, you know what? It's not really that bad. I mean, if you have when you first get started, though, it is tough because you want to try to create as much content as you possibly can of your own. And I think that's one of the biggest obstacles that people have is that they don't know how to create their own content. They're not writers, so they don't sit down and simply write an article. They don't write a report, or they don't write their own book. So if you don't do that, then you have to rely on other forms of marketing. And actually, that can save you a lot of time because when I first started online, I spent the majority of my time creating content. And I didn't really manage my time well. I probably should have spent some of my time writing content and some of my time marketing that content and doing some other form of affiliate marketing. But now I spend an hour a day creating new content. I spend an hour a day marketing and maybe another half hour to 30 minutes sending out my e-zine and making sure that my advertising and the rest of my web business is operating correctly. And that's about it.
So you have a 2.5-hour working day.
Yeah, 2.5 hours is about, I mean, if I really, really focus, that's about all I'd have to spend. And now that I'm using ListMail Pro and automated subscriptions, unsubscribes, autoresponders, and things like that, I really don't even have to spend that amount of time. But it allows me now to spend more time on creating very high-quality content, which
right.
is extremely critical for... I think your success online. If you don't know how to write your own content, you really should learn. You learn how to write because it's probably one of the most effective ways of generating, traffic to your site by writing articles, sending them out through the news services, writing press releases that you can send out. We didn't talk about that yet, but we can, one form of traffic that you can use is to... generate a press release and send it out through PRWeb.com, which is a free press release service. And I have a subscriber who's been doing that pretty successfully for some of his affiliate programs.
So to send a press release for an affiliate program?
Yeah, what he does is he basically talks about, he almost acts like he's interviewing the author of the book.
Uh-huh.
Jim Stewart just came out with his brand new book, and it's terrific. It's all about finding ways of making money on eBay. And I interviewed him, and then he does a little question and answer kind of thing in the press release. Sends it out as a press release, and at the end he puts, oh, by the way, here's how you can find Jim's book. And it's just like a little review, and he puts it into a press release and sends it out through PR Web. And if a website picks up that press release, you can generate some significant traffic. And he's been pretty successful doing that.
So is he using his affiliate link then?
Yes. Yep. He puts it instead of the URL directly to the website. He'll put he'll use TinyURL or MicroURL or one of the other redirection services, and he uses his affiliate link to go directly to the website for the book.
Yeah, what a great idea.
I shouldn't be doing that, yeah.
That's excellent. So do you have any other, if you're doing a press release for your own site, for example, do you have a formula that you follow, specific information that you should include in a press release?
Yeah, I think the number one mistake that people make when they're putting together a press release is that it's not really newsworthy and it's too much of a sales piece. You have to get out of the marketing mindset for a second when you're preparing a press release and really try to make it as newsworthy as possible by linking it to current headlines. For example, there was a piece in USA Today, I'd say about 2 months ago, that announced that retirees in the United States had to work I think it was like 65 or 75% of the retirees in the United States had to work even after they retired in order to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And so I took that headline and I basically took that idea and said, I used that statistic quoting USA Today in my press release and said, here's a way to make some easy money, online. at home, and Dave Vallier, the author of You Can Make Your Living Online, you know, and then I pretended like I interviewed myself.
Uh-huh.
And sent it out as a press release, and it actually worked out pretty well.
So you write it from a third-party perspective.
That's right.
Excellent. So how would you end up writing it then so that it doesn't come off kind of like a sales letter if you're doing it on your own? Now, you've gone and written your own sales letter.
Right.
Would it not be easier to get somebody else to write it for you?
Generally, you can, or you can use a template. There's a couple of different there's one subscriber, and I think his name is Jim, and is the I think the his website is Duct Tape Marketing.
Uh-huh.
Let me see if I can look it up here for a second. He has a free program that you can download that is kind of a fill-in-the-blank press release, which is really, really cool.
Okay.
All you have to do is fill in a few blanks, and it spits out a press release for you. It's really, really neat. Let me see if I can find it here. It is ducttapemarketing.com. It's John. I'm sorry. His name is John.
Okay.
And he's a subscriber to the newsletter. And let me see if I can find these. Here it is. It's called Instant Press Release. So if you go to ducttapemarketing.com, scroll down towards the bottom of the page, and you'll see a little link for Instant Press Release.
Uh-huh.
And it's first software. It's free, or free software. All you got to do is fill in the blanks. It's
fantastic.
Great.
That makes life simple. Next thing, Dave, I'd like to just talk about linking for a minute. Do you use any linking, like reciprocal links?
Not really, no. No, I haven't. I started to get into that a couple of years ago, but I realized that, you know, sites change quite frequently. They change ownership. They change, you know, people who had great content sites 3 or 4 years ago are not now out of business.
Right.
And keeping up with reciprocal link programs is really almost a full-time job because people change their site so often. And then if you link to their website, you know, you have to check to make sure they're still linking back to you. It's really a time-intensive kind of program. I know there's a lot of people that have had success doing that. And there's a couple people who wrote about it. Jack Humphrey's one with power linking. And he does a really excellent job of, you know, coming up with some really creative ways to get reciprocal links and things like that. But it's time intensive for me, and it's not something that's in my marketing plan now.
Okay. So there's no software or anything that could do that automatically somehow?
Yeah, there's a company called I'm not sitting down at my desktop. I think it's Airless.
Airless?
Yeah.
That's okay. If you don't use it, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I did use it at one time.
Yeah.
What it did was it ran through websites that are very similar to a set of keywords that you inputted into the program.
Right.
And it would create the list of the websites for you, a description of the website, and a contact email. And then what you could do is contact them and ask them if they were interested in reciprocal linking.
All right, okay.
But since it's not a program that I would, you know, use on a regular basis, not now.
Sure. Okay, that's cool. Let's go look to email marketing, because I know you're big into email marketing. How do you develop a quality list fast? Quality list of subscribers?
The best way is something that we've already mentioned. Really write a good, hard-hitting report with excellent information in it. And then, you know, almost like an article that you would put on your website or on somebody else's website that you would submit, put a signature line about who you are and what your website address is. Write that report and then give it away to every webmaster in your market.
Okay.
Let them, tell them, here, take this report. You can give it out free to your subscribers. I don't care. And if they find, you know, it's a good quality report, even if it's only 4 or 5 pages, you know, put it into a PDF file, send it to them, and say, look, or they can link directly to download it from your website. Either way, you know, let them give it away. I've had it's amazing. A lot of people contact me and they want to do JVs with me because they have a product that they want to sell, which is fine. And I don't do very many because, frankly, there aren't that many really, really high-quality products that I feel comfortable promoting. But when they do have a high-quality product, I'm more than happy to promote it, and both of us tend to make good money at it. But I have had very few people saying, you know, email me and say, look, I've generated this fantastic report. It's got really good high-quality content in it. Here's the report. Feel free to give it to your subscribers. If they sent me something like that, and it was a really good quality report, and it had their name and their website address in it and something about them in the report so that people could click through to their website and subscribe to their e-zine, mm-hmm. I would have no problem giving that away because it was really high-quality information. But I have had almost no one ever, you know, offer to do that.
Right.
You know, if they did, I would say, hey, this is a great report. This person, and I would put a link to it, you know, in my e-zine and send it out to my 12,000 subscribers, and they would get a ton of hits, I'm sure, and get a ton of subscribers and high quality subscribers right away, and that is probably the most effective form of generating high-quality subscribers that I could ever tell anybody about.
Excellent.
I mean, it is absolutely a fantastic way to do it. And you know, I've got a 12,000, you know, I've got a list of 12,000 subscribers. Other people have much larger lists, you know, 60,000, 80,000, 100,000 people. I mean, you could build a list of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in a matter of no time if you did that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So once you get that part in place, is it better than to develop one master list, or should you go to several smaller targeted lists?
Well, I would generally, I would say that you want to develop a single list.
Okay.
But that's not the end of the story. You want to generate, as usual, you want to generate one list in a target market that you feel really comfortable serving in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you want to be in a market that you know a lot about, that you have an interest in, and that you can create either your own content or have it created for you. But as long as you're somewhat knowledgeable in that target market, I would generate a single list. And here's what I've done: is I've generated a single list in the internet marketing and marketing target niche, and then I segment the list after, you know, from that list, from that master list. In other words, I've got people who are interested only in resale rights. So what I do is I segment that 12,000-person list into a separate list of people who are only interested in resale rights. Or I'll segment the list into people who are only interested in eBay or topics about eBay.
How do you find out?
Well, all you do is a really good way, and something that I mentioned in my course, is to simply write an email to your list and let them know that you're working on a project regarding eBay.
Uh-huh.
And anyone who is interested in finding out more information about this project when it's completed, you know, send them to a special web page where they can sign up or respond to a special email address. And as soon as they